Are you familiar with the five-year rule for Roth IRAs? Or how about the other five-year rule for Roth IRAs? Or the other random rules and provisions around your ability to take money out of Roth IRAs? I'm about to break it all down for you here in the eighth episode of the Retirement Planning Education Podcast.
Welcome to the Retirement Planning Education Podcast, where you can learn all about IRAs and Roth IRAs, employer retirement plans, taxes, Social Security, Medicare, portfolio withdrawal strategies, annuities, estate planning, and much more. And now here's your host, Andy Panko.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for listening. We got a great one today. This one is all about the ability to take money out of a Roth IRA without tax or penalty. There's something called the five-year rule you may have heard of. There's actually a whole other different five-year rule that can come into play with Roth IRAs and your ability to take money out without tax or penalty. So I'm going to break it all down. And there's more to it than just those, unfortunately. There's more than just 2 5-year rules. So I'm going to focus this on Roth IRAs. Today's discussion will be specifically in reference to Roth IRAs. A lot of the rules and provisions discussed here apply just the same to Roth employer retirement plans, like a Roth 401k, Roth 403b, or Roth Thrift Savings Plan for federal employees. So I'll make mention when there is something different or relevant to those plans, but otherwise, for the most part, the same things apply to employer plans. Now, in addition to the 2 5-year rules, like I said, there's a host of other conditions and things that need to be met or may be met, you know, exceptions to exceptions and things like that. And I'll break them all down with some examples. Now, this is a complicated, convoluted topic, and I summed it all up in a one-page handout that breaks it all down neat and pretty for you. You can find a link to it in the show notes. There's on my business website, there's a free resources section that has this and a whole bunch of other really good handouts and materials, all of which is freely available. You don't have to give your email or any sort of information. Just click on it and the file downloads. There's no no asking for names or phone numbers or emails. So hope you enjoy and it'll be a good complement to this to today's podcast. So let's start by talking about first how money gets into a Roth IRA, because how money comes in will help dictate the taxability or the ability to take it out. So there's a few ways to get money into a Roth IRA. First is a contribution. That's simply you take money, you directly contribute it in. You know, typically that money will come from your checking account, your savings account, or you can transfer cash in from a brokerage account if you have it. But the point is you are putting new money into your Roth IRA from outside the Roth IRA world and also outside the tax-deferred world. So this isn't money coming from a traditional IRA. It's coming from the normal taxable world of bank accounts or brokerage accounts. So that's contributions. Second is conversions. And conversions is when you take money from a tax-deferred vehicle, such as a traditional IRA, and transfer it, technically convert it from the Roth IRA from the traditional IRA to the Roth IRA. Now, it's called a conversion because the money is leaving one realm of taxability and going into another. As I mentioned in my last episode, episode 7, the difference between tax-deferred accounts, Roth accounts, et cetera, was that the distinguishing factor amongst these account types is how they're taxed. They're all just buckets. They're buckets with different tax implications. Things in the tax-deferred world, you have not yet paid tax on. You take the money and the tax comes out. So if you're going to put money from a tax-deferred vehicle like a traditional IRA into a Roth vehicle where all the money needs to be taxed prior to going in, it's a conversion. It's not a simple transfer. It's technically a conversion. Generally speaking, that conversion, the amounts you convert, you will need to pay tax on in the year of the conversion. Now, there are some exceptions. So if you convert money that was already taxed inside your traditional IRA, for example, you do an after-tax contribution, you know, a non-deductible contribution to your traditional IRA, that's money you already pay tax on. Then you immediately convert that over to a Roth IRA. You won't need to pay tax upon that conversion because you will have already paid tax on the money in the first place when it made its way into the traditional IRA. Now, there's some things to watch out for, something called the pro rata rule that I discussed in detail in episode 6 about doing backdoor Roths. But let's assume the only money in your traditional IRA was an after-tax contribution you just made, and you immediately convert that over to a Roth IRA. You will not have to pay tax on that because that money was already taxed prior to going into the traditional IRA. So that's a non-taxable conversion, is what I'll call it, versus a taxable conversion is if you take money that hasn't yet been taxed inside a traditional IRA and then convert that, you will have to pay tax on the amount of the conversion in the year of the conversion. Because again, you're switching realms. You're taking money from a world where the money's never been taxed and putting it into a world, i.e. the Roth world, where all money that goes in needs to be taxed prior to getting in there. So that's why you have to pay tax on that conversion. And that I'm calling a taxable conversion. So that's the second one. So first is contributions, is how you can get money in. Two is conversions, of which there's really two types. There's a taxable conversion and a non-taxable conversion. Third way to get money into a Roth IRA is earnings. Now, this isn't really getting money into it. It's when you do make contributions or conversions and there's growth on that money you put in there, that growth is the earnings. So you don't directly put it in. It just sort of shows up when your investments, when your contributions make earnings. So that's the other source of money, if you will, in Roth IRAs is earnings. So that's the three ways to get money into it. Now, there's sort of a fourth way, but not really. That's doing a rollover. So if you have one Roth IRA that already has money in it and you roll that over to another Roth IRA, yes, technically you just put money into that other Roth IRA, but in the eyes of the IRS, and this is how you have to think about it, whether you have one Roth IRA or 20, they're all functionally one big fat Roth IRA from the IRS perspective. So the taxability of it, the contributions across all of them, the earnings across all of them, et cetera, are functionally all pooled up as if they're one. So therefore, that's why I'm saying doing a rollover from one Roth IRA to another isn't really doing anything. Like, yes, it's going from account A to account B, but it's still functionally in the Roth IRA wrapper. So that's why I'm saying that's a fourth way to get money in, but not really. Now, there is a bit of a difference when you roll money, potentially difference, when you roll money from a Roth employer plan, like a Roth 401k into a Roth IRA. I'll touch on that in a bit, but hold that thought for now. So the way in which you get money into the Roth IRA matters because the way in which you get money out matters. There are what's called ordering rules. And again, from the IRS perspective, whether you have one Roth IRA or 20 or any number in between or even more than that, they're all functionally considered one big fat Roth IRA. So any money you take out of your Roth IRA is first assumed to come from contributions you made. So whether you take it out of Roth IRA number one or Roth IRA number two or Roth IRA number 20, all dollars that come out are assumed to be you taking out the amounts you contributed. Only if and when in aggregate you take out more than you cumulatively contributed, then it's assumed you start taking out the next tier or the next bucket, if you will, which are amounts that were converted, specifically amounts that were taxed when they were converted. So just back up. Quick example of this. So you have a Roth IRA that you contributed $20,000 throughout the years. There's now $5,000 of earnings on it. And you just recently did a $5,000 taxable conversion. So all in, you have $30,000 in this Roth IRA. If you were to take $20,000 out right now, it would be assumed that $20,000 distribution would be coming all from the $20,000 you originally contributed. The next $5,000 you take out will be assumed to come from the conversions you just did, the $5,000 taxable conversion. And then after that, the remaining five will come out of earnings. Got a bit ahead of myself, but first order of withdrawals is contributions. The second order is conversions, specifically conversions that were taxed upon the conversion. If and when you take out all contributions, and then all taxable conversions, the next dollars to come out are those that were conversions that were not taxable upon the conversion, assuming you have any. And then finally, if and when you take out all contributions, all conversions that were taxable, and all conversions that were not taxable, all the remaining dollars to come out are assumed to be earnings, you know, growth that happened within the Roth IRA on the monies you put in there. So that's the ordering rules. Take a mental note of that. Now, that matters because now that we can start talking about the rules around taking money out, you need to focus on the ordering because depending on what you're taking out, that'll dictate what the taxes and or penalties are, if any. So to start simple, with a Roth IRA, you can take out up to the amount of your total contributions at any time with no tax or penalty. You don't need an explanation. You don't need need to be of a certain age. You don't have to have a certain income. Simply put, going back to our other example, you contributed $20,000 to your Roth IRA over the years. You just did a $5,000 conversion, and there's $5,000 of cumulative gains. You can take out up to $20,000 at any time. It doesn't need to be one shot either. You can take out $1,000 this year. You can take out, you know, another $10,000 next year, and then another $9,000 the year after. So long as you don't, in aggregate, take out more than 20, you're assumed to be taking out just your contributions. And anyone could take out their contributions anytime for any reason with zero tax or penalty. All right? That's important to know. Now, that's with the Roth IRA. With an employer Roth plan, like a Roth 401k, Roth 403b, there are going to be some restrictions on this, largely because with an employer plan, they can prohibit you from taking out what's called an in-service distribution. That simply means while you're still employed there, they likely won't let you take money out. Even if you are just looking to take out the amounts you contributed, chances are they're still going to say, nope, can't do it. So keep that in mind. That's not an IRS-specific thing. That's more so a employer-specific thing. So each employer could be set up a little different, but assume while you're still working, you may not be able to take out your Roth 401k contributions, for example. Okay, so that's contributions. Now, this is where the rules start to come into play, and you know, the five-year rules. The first I'll talk about is earnings. So you can take out contributions anytime, any reason with a Roth IRA, no tax or penalty. Earnings, completely different story. The only time you can take out earnings without tax or penalty is if it's a quote unquote qualified distribution. And there's two conditions that need to be met for distributions to be qualified. One is, and this is the five-year rule you've probably heard of, your first Roth IRA needs to have been funded at least 5 years ago, where that five-year clock starts January 1st of the year you first got money into that Roth IRA. Let that soak in for a second. I'll say it again. So the five-year rule is that your first Roth IRA, so whether you have one or 20 Roth IRAs, it's just the first Roth IRA you've had in your life. You have to look at when that was first funded. How did, you know, when it first had some non-zero amount of money in it. Whether it was because you did a contribution into it or you started it by doing a conversion into it, doesn't matter. The point is the year you had your first Roth IRA funded, your five-year clock starts January 1st of that year. So here we are, 2022. As I'm recording this, let's assume you opened your first Roth IRA in 2018, just to pick a number. Whether you put money in or converted money in on January 1st of 2018 or December 31st of 2018 or any day in between, your five-year clock will have started January 1st of 2018. Got it? So do the math. Your 5 years isn't up until 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22. Until January 1st, 2023 is when you will have met this five-year rule. And this five-year rule applies to all of your Roth IRAs from any point forward. So whether you have one or 20 Roth IRAs, doesn't matter. Or even if you open up a new Roth IRA after this five-year period, doesn't matter. You will still have, your 5 years will have been met because you will have funded your first Roth IRA in 2018. So that's the five-year rule you've probably heard of. So you need to meet that condition. In order for distributions to be qualified, you need to meet that condition and one of the following. First, you have to be at least 59 and a half. Second, the distribution occurs after your death. So if you pass, you know, effectively you're leaving this to someone else, they take a distribution from it. But let's assume you're more interested in this while you're alive. So you can kind of throw that one out. Doesn't matter. But third, you can take out up to $10,000 in your lifetime to build, acquire, or rebuild your first home. If you do, that can qualify for one of these qualified distribution rules. And fourth, if you're totally disabled. Now, there's a formal IRS definition of totally disabled. It is specifically, you are unable to engage in any substantial gainful activity by reason of any medically determinable physical or mental impairment which can be expected to result in death or to be of long continued and indefinite duration. I don't know who the arbiter is of whether or not you're totally disabled, but that is a pretty severe, all-encompassing definition. So, you know, if you fall and break your pinky, that's not going to qualify you for being totally disabled for purposes of Roth withdrawals. But, you know, if you truly can't work because of a mental or physical impairment, that could be a different story. So just to recap, qualify, in order for distributions to be quote unquote qualified, two things need to be met. One is that 5-year rule. Again, first Roth IRA needs to have been funded at least 5 years ago, starting January 1st of the year you first got money into your first Roth IRA. That's point one. Point two is one of the following: be at least 59 and a half, be dead. So, you know, distribution occurs after your death. Take out up to 10 grand in your lifetime to build, acquire, or rebuild your first home, or you're totally disabled. Now, practically speaking, the vast majority of people hit this qualified distribution status by turning 59 and a half, not by these other things. So write this down. This is important. Once you're 59 and a half and your first Roth IRA was funded at least 5 years ago, you are set. From that point forward, all monies that come out of your Roth IRA will be qualified distributions, which means they will not be taxed or penalized, period. It's that simple. You hit the golden ticket. Once you're done, like, you know, you've already won the Roth IRA game and that you've met all the conditions you need to meet. Every dollar taken out from that point forward, regardless how it originally got there or regardless when it goes in going forward, you can take it out tax and penalty free, period, full stop, done. So that's qualified distribution. Again, typically 5 years, first Roth IRA funded at least 5 years ago, and you're at least 59 and a half. That's how most people meet this qualified distribution. So when you do, great. Everything can come out, whether it's contributions, whether it's monies you converted, whether it's earnings, they can all come out tax and penalty free. So that's what most people shoot for. And that's what most people eventually hit with Roth IRAs is that combination of two things such that all distributions are qualified. At that point forward, you don't have to worry about any other rules or provisions or what ifs. Everything that comes out tax and penalty free, period. All right. Still with me? That one's a little thick, but that's important to know because that's sort of what everyone, that's the ultimate goal throughout the IRAs is to get to that qualified distribution status. Next, so what if it's not qualified? Are there ways to at least avoid the 10% penalty? So in this case, it's not qualified. You'd still have to pay tax on earnings if you take earnings out. Again, contributions never taxed or penalized. They can always come out tax and penalty free. The conversation up till now is really just, this 5-year rule is really just in the context of taking out earnings on your monies. But what if it's not quite qualified and you need access to those earnings? You already depleted all your contributions. You took out all your contributions. So now you're starting to take out earnings. Is there a way to at least avoid the 10% penalty while you're waiting to hit qualified status? And the answer is yes. So if any of these things happen, you can avoid the 10% penalty, but you still have to pay tax until your first Roth IRA was funded at least 5 years ago. So the handful of things that will qualify you for an exception to the 10% penalty are you're at least 59 and a half, the distribution occurred after your death, you take out up to 10 grand for first-time home expenses, totally disabled, or it's part of a substantially equal periodic payment stream. I'll do an episode on that. That's a special arrangement you set up with the IRS that gives you penalty-free access to your qualified accounts that you otherwise wouldn't be able to touch penalty-free until you're 59 and a half. There is a way you can get penalty-free access to it. So this is one of the exceptions where you can get the 10% penalty waived on Roth IRA distributions. Or if you use the distribution to pay medical insurance premiums while you're on unemployment, that's a big qualifier. You can't just use it to pay premiums, period. You need to be on unemployment. If you are and you're paying medical premiums out of pocket, then you can take out some of your Roth IRA earnings and avoid the 10% penalty, but you'll still have to pay tax at least until you hit qualified status. Or to pay unreimbursed medical expenses that are in excess of 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, or to pay qualified higher education expenses, or if it's due to IRS levy. If they say, hey, you owe us money, we're going to start taking out of your Roth IRA and they're forcing you to take out earnings, well, they'll be sort of nice. They won't slap you with a 10% penalty. You'll still have to pay tax, but they won't hit you with the penalty. Or this one only applies to military reservists. There's something called a qualified reservist distribution. So again, just to recap, this is where things start to get messy. First start, are you taking out contributions? Yes. If you are, then no tax or penalty, period. You don't have to worry about the rest of this stuff. If you start taking out more than contributions and now you're dipping into your earnings, you have to ask, is this a qualified distribution? And what makes it qualified? You hit those two things. Your first Roth IRA is at least 5 years old and you're at least 59 and a half. or one of those other few, but let's assume you meet it by being 59 and a half. So that makes it qualified. No tax or penalty on anything, period, you're set. The other, what I just mentioned, where it's not qualified, but you can at least get a waiver to the 10% penalty, comes into play if, for example, your Roth IRA is not yet 5 years old. So let's say you just started it last year, your first Roth IRA. So you haven't met the five-year rule, which means you can't avoid tax on earnings, taking out earnings until 5 years have passed. But you can at least avoid 10% penalty if one of these other conditions happens. And I'll just run through them again quickly. You're at least 59 and a half. The distribution occurs after your death. So basically in the hands of your beneficiaries. You take out up to 10 grand in your lifetime to build, acquire, or rebuild your first home. You're totally disabled. The distribution is part of a series of substantially equal periodic payments to pay medical insurance premiums during a period of unemployment, or to pay unreimbursed medical expenses that are in excess of 7.5% of your age adjusted gross income, to pay qualified higher education expenses if it's due to an IRS levy, or if it's a qualified reservist distribution. So that's the waiver of the penalty, but still have to pay tax. Still with me, hopefully? Cool. So now let's talk about conversions. This is where there's a second five-year rule that comes into play. What if I'm 50, so I'm far short of 59 and a half, and I do a Roth conversion, and that conversion is taxable. So I'm taking money, all pre-tax money from my traditional IRA. I convert it to my Roth IRA. I pay tax upon that conversion. When can I take out that money I just converted? The answer is you have to wait 5 years or until you're 59 and a half, whichever comes first. If you take it out before then, there will be a 10% penalty on it. There won't be any tax because the money was already taxed again. Remember, when you did the conversion, you paid tax at the time. So you won't have to pay tax on taking this money out, but you will have to pay a 10% early withdrawal penalty if you take it out sooner than 5 years or before turning 59 and a half. And like the other five-year rule, the clock starts on this January 1st of the year you did the conversion. So let's assume now, let's assume last year, 2021, I did a $10,000 conversion from my traditional IRA to my Roth IRA, and that was the only money I had in my Roth IRA. So I just started it with this conversion. I pay tax on that conversion. When can I take this money out without penalty? And I'm only 50, let's assume. I'm going to have to wait 5 years until I can take that converted money out without penalty. And that 5 years starts January 1st of 2021, because again, the clock starts January 1st of the year in which you did the conversion. So every year you do conversions, there's going to be a new five-year clock for that year's conversions. So some people sometimes staggered, you know, if they're young and doing conversions, they plan on taking that money out sooner rather than later, they may stagger doing conversions year over year. So there's always this rolling sort of five-year period where they'll have penalty-free access to get that money out. Now, that's just the amounts converted are subject to the five-year conversion timing period, where if you take it out sooner or before turning 59 and a half, there'll be a 10% penalty. Now, what about earnings on those conversions? The earnings on the conversions fall under what I talked about before. You know, the earnings need to be a qualified distribution in order to come out tax and penalty free, or you can at least get around the 10% penalty on taking out those earnings if you have one of those roughly 10 other exceptions that I mentioned, but you'd still be subject to tax on those earnings until you've hit the qualified distribution status. Clear as mud, right? As I said, that handout I have, you can find the link in the show notes. That will hopefully clear it up. It shows in a much cleaner visual way the ordering of withdrawals, when things are subject to tax or penalty, and in a nice sort of grid format with detailed footnotes to explain all these what-ifs and exceptions I'm talking about. So it'll make a lot more sense when you look at that. But I'm trying my best to keep this as clean as I could. It's just that this really is a bear of legislation, super convoluted and complicated. So I'm trying to do it in a sensible fashion here. So that's the other five-year clock, five-year rule that applies only to conversions, specifically only conversions that were taxable upon the conversion. If you do a conversion that isn't taxable, so meaning you, like I mentioned before, the money you're converting from your traditional IRA was already taxed, you did not get a tax deduction for it, you won't have to pay tax upon that conversion because the money was already taxed and the IRS won't double tax you there. they're somewhat fair at times. I say that kind of jokingly. If you do a conversion that's not taxable, you can take that money out whenever. There's no 5-year period on that. You can take it out the next day if you want to. Any earnings on it, different story. Those earnings then fall under the having to be a qualified distribution thing. But the amount converted itself, you can take out anytime if that conversion was not taxable. So why is that? Think about it this way. If you have a traditional pre-tax retirement account, whether it's an IRA, 401k, whatever, you're not allowed to take the money out prior to 59 and a half. Or if you do, there's a 10% early withdrawal penalty on top of having to pay tax. So the IRS doesn't want you sort of skirting around that by saying, okay, I'm only 40 years old. I have a bunch of money tied up in a traditional IRA. I can't take it out for another 19 and a half years till I'm 59 and a half without penalty. So, hey, how about this? How about I convert it to a Roth IRA? I'll pay tax on it now. I realize I'm always going to have to pay tax anyway, so there's no magic there. So I convert it, I pay tax now, and I'll just simply turn around and take it out tomorrow without the 10% penalty. Awesome, right? Well, no. That's why the IRS has this 5-year rule around conversions, taxable conversions, because they realize this could be a loophole and a backdoor way for you to get money out of your traditional IRA without paying the 10% penalty. So they say you basically have to let it sit and bake until that conversion is 5 years old or until you hit 59 and a half, at which point you wouldn't have been subject to that 10% early withdrawal penalty anyway if you were to take money out of your traditional pre-tax account. So that's the reason why there's that 5-year rule. Now, it's actually sort of generous. If you think about it, in theory, the IRS should probably make you not be able to take taxable conversions out until you're 59 and a half. Because again, same thing in the tax deferred world, you have to wait till 59 and a half to take the money out without penalty, but you could convert it, only wait 5 years, then you can take it out without penalty. So it is actually a nice little, I don't want to call it a freebie, but it is more beneficial that way to get access to it, at least penalty-free access, as opposed to leaving it in your tax deferred account. So that's why there's that rule. So that's conversions, the 5-year rule around conversions and some of the specific nuances to taking out monies that were converted. And finally, some comments about employer Roth plans. As I mentioned before, if it's an employer 401k, for example, they typically have the same rules in terms of that account needs to be funded at least 5 years ago. You need to be at least 59 and a half until you can have qualified distributions, which means all of your monies that come out of that account will come out tax and penalty free. With an IRA, as I mentioned, you can get access to it before 59 and a half without penalty, but still tax. So there's at least that benefit. With most employer plans, they're likely not going to let you do that because, as I mentioned, there's many employers put in a restrict you from doing in-plan distributions, meaning while you're still employed, they won't let you take money out. So your money's probably more restricted in terms of your abilities to get at it if it's a Roth employer plan as opposed to a Roth IRA. Now, here's where things get funky. If you have a Roth 401k, so let's assume you opened it 10 years ago, funded it 10 years ago, and you're now 60. So you met the conditions for that Roth 401k to be to have qualified distributions. So if and when you take distributions from that Roth 401k, they're all tax and penalty free. But what if you retire and you decide to roll over that Roth 401k into a new Roth IRA, and it's your first Roth IRA, you've never had one open before? Well, guess what? Unfortunately, that 10 years of timing of seasoning you've had in your Roth 401k will not port over to your Roth IRA. You will be starting the clock fresh when you open that first Roth IRA in terms of having to meet the 5-year rule for your distributions to eventually be qualified. So that's not cool. So if you plan on, the next handful of years, you plan on leaving your employer, you have a Roth 401k, you do not yet have a Roth IRA, but you plan on rolling that Roth 401k over, you should probably open a Roth IRA sooner rather than later, just to get the clock started. And it doesn't need to be a lot. You can put a dollar in or whatever the minimum amount is that your Roth IRA custodian requires, and maybe do $50, $100, just so it's not jokingly small. But the point is, anything greater than zero will get the clock started in that Roth IRA. So you can do it. You can fund it by way of a small conversion, $100 conversion, or $100 contribution if you're eligible to make contributions direct to that Roth IRA. So that's something to keep in mind. It also works the other way. So let's say you're 60, you're about to retire, you just started a Roth 401k a year ago, so you haven't yet met the 5 years in your Roth 401k, but you're over 59 and a half. If you keep the money in the Roth 401k, you'd still have to wait 4 more years to meet 5 years within that Roth 401k. But if you roll it over to a Roth IRA, and let's assume that Roth IRA was open 10 years ago, once you roll it over now, that money looks to the 5 year status of the Roth IRA, and you already met it because that Roth IRA is 10 years old. So just like that, that money you rolled in is now quote unquote qualified because you're over 59 and a half. Remember I said you're 60 and that Roth IRA is open 10 years ago. So it can sort of cut both ways. Just long story short, just know that the time you have in your Roth 401k unfortunately does not port over to your Roth IRA if and when you roll it out. It's the age of the Roth IRA and the status of the 5 year clock on the Roth IRA that will dictate the qualifiedness of the distributions out of that Roth IRA going forward. All right, I'll wrap it there. I dumped a lot on you. Again, definitely check out the free handout in the link to the show notes. That'll better summarize all the stuff I went over here. If you like this, definitely check out my Facebook group, Taxes and Retirement. We get into this sort of topic all the time and lots of other juicy stuff. My YouTube channel, Retirement Planning Demystified. I actually have a few videos specifically about this. One is called, Understanding Roth IRA Withdrawal Rules, that step through this all with nice charts and things and tables. And also, I got a monthly newsletter, Retirement Planning Insights, which has a lot of good info as well. You can find links to all three of these things in the show notes. If you like this podcast, definitely please subscribe and leave a nice glowing review, assuming you like it. If you don't like it, leave a glowing review anyway. No, just kidding. I do see some of you have been leaving, at least on Apple Podcasts, a lot of great ratings, a lot of great reviews. Thank you. There's one Debbie Downer that left a 1-star ranking, whereas everyone else is 5s and 4s. So I don't know if that was by accident or there's just a hater out there. But regardless, if you are a hater, thank you for at least putting in the time. You know, you could have just completely avoided and not open the podcast in the first place, but you actually went out of your way to open it and consciously click on 1-star. So thank you for that. Thank you for recognizing me and taking the time out of your life. So that's that. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope you come back next week. Next week, I'll be discussing about required minimum distributions, aka RMDs. Going to be a fun one. Take care.
The information discussed in this podcast is only general explanations and education. It is not specific tax, legal, or investment advice. Before considering acting on anything you heard here, first consult with your tax, legal, or investment advisor. Thank you.